950, Matt McNeil here. Turnout, Making Minnesota the State That Votes, is the latest book from the longtime Secretary of State, Joan Anderson Grow, with the help from Lori Studevant, and a foreword by Hillary Rodham Clinton. It's a book that talks about how Minnesota got to the point where we are the state that does vote. Madam Secretary, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
First of all, congratulations on the vote. I mean, I think what we are seeing still today, I was just looking at the primary numbers and, you know, the big turnout for Dean Phillips in 3 and the amount of people that voted up in the 8th district and stuff. I think that the efforts that you made between 75 and 99, they still play out today because, my goodness, is it amazing to be in a state where people actually take voting seriously?
Well, it is, and I think one of the reasons for the primary turnout was the emphasis on absentee ballots. And I find it a little ironic because say 30 years ago, to vote absentee, you had to have a specific reason. I mean, you had to check off a box and say if you were ill or if you were going to be out of the state or whatever the reason. And we tried to change that because we thought that's not much like real life, and a lot of people would just prefer to do that. Elderly people, people with small kids, people who live a distance from the polling place. And we tried for 30 years to get the legislature to change that law so you could vote absentee without a reason, and it just happened 2 years ago. So it takes a while to change election laws, but I think the public likes that change, and we saw it particularly this year in the middle of this virus.
Well, the proactive nature of it, it becomes much more of an understandable necessity during a pandemic, for goodness sakes. It obviously is the best way to go, especially for anyone who might be susceptible to said illness.
Well, that's true, and it was true years ago, too. But, you know, election laws are one of the hardest things to ever change. Legislators all got elected with the current law, whatever that was at the time. And so the minute we would present a proposal to the legislature to make a change, I think what went through everyone's head was, let's see, I got elected under the current system. Mm-hmm. How will this change impact my election? And we were off, you know. And so most of them were very adverse to change, either for that reason or because as things became much more partisan, they were worried it was going to cause more either Republicans to vote or more Democrats to vote. So it was really hard to do it. But I will say that I think some of the changes that came when I was in office came because early on, our office adopted this sort of a bottom line value that we said voting is a right. It's not a privilege that we grant to people. And so we could measure any proposal or change or rule or law against that value that we had set up. And it has worked well for Minnesota, I think.
I want to go back in time here because much like when I try to explain what 4 television channels used to be like to my children, when you took over as Secretary of State, describe the election system that was in place because it was a very different system than the one we have today, correct?
It was. In fact, prior to my election, I was in the legislature, and that was the year that we passed a major, major election reform bill. And at that time, many counties had no voter registration, and it was all done independently. I mean, the Secretary of State is the chief elections officer, but, I mean, there were no computers then. Mm-hmm. You couldn't communicate except, pick up the telephone, I guess. And so the legislature passed a law saying that every county, every election district in the state had to have voter registration. But prior to that, if you were in a small community, you just walked into the polling place and the assumption was that they knew you and you just went in, signed your name and voted. And, the only state that still has that system, quite frankly, is I think it's North Dakota still has that system. Mm-hmm. But they made a lot of changes, and then through the years we computerized, and I think there's been a huge change in election law, and I think it's been for the better, for people for the better. But we still fight voter suppression at the polls, mm-hmm. and you have to just stay on your toes, I guess, and you have to keep reminding yourself that this is a right, and we need to help people express their right to vote.
The, you know, and by the way, in the system that you described seems to be ripe for potential problems with it. And I think this actually began before you took the office as Secretary of State, the Election Day registration. Talk about that fight. I mean, I'm going to guess that it was a real tangle to go into some of these counties and convince them, no, we have to change the system.
Well, in fact, the year before I was elected, we passed Election Day registration, statewide registration, and it was a huge change. And so to implement it correctly, it was used in the election that I won in 1984, but I'm not sure how consistently it was used. And so what I made it a point to do was to go out and visit all the counties and meet with the county auditors and the clerks and the election judges. And as it turned out, we had tons of private citizens who came to our little, we thought they were going to be small gatherings to explain exactly the election laws and how to best implement it. And we really tried to get the confidence of county auditors and election officials so that we tried to tell them, boy, if you make a mistake, no one's perfect. If you make a mistake, we're going to back you up. We're going to help you correct it. We're not going to call attention to it in the press. And it took a while, I think, to gain their confidence. And quite frankly, they didn't always agree with me or with what I wanted to do. But I think they always trusted me. Mm-hmm. And then I had wonderful election directors. You know, the famous Joe Mansky came in as an election director, and he just hit it off with all those counties. So people trusted us. And I will tell you one funny experience. When sure. we decided to computerize, that was also a huge change for a lot of these counties. And we bought the equipment, we sent it out, and we said, we will help train you to use it, which we did. And we had a help desk where the counties could call for help. And they got a phone call one day and from one of the county auditors. And so he said, you know, he said, I can't get this thing turned on. And they said, well, have you plugged it in? Oh, he said, no, I haven't. So people started from the base of not ever using computers, which I did too, to being able to computerize the election system, which has just made a dramatic difference, I think, for us.
Joan Grow, former Secretary of State. The book is Turnout, Making Minnesota the State That Votes. I find it very interesting. My experience, I was in Germany when the East Berlin Wall, the German Wall came down. And I sat there as all these East Germans flowed into West Germany at that point and said they would leave everything behind. They said, we're going to go choose who we want to lead us. That they had lived under that East German rule and that the ability to choose people. It made me, it bored into my mind that choosing your people who represent you is a privilege to have. It sounds like you as well grew up in a family where voting was always, there was never an off-year election.
That is true. My dad, I grew up in a small town in Buffalo, Minnesota, and it was quite rural at that time. We didn't have the highways that went out there, but my dad was the mayor. And so the election would come around. Of course, there was not campaigning like there is now, but I always knew that we waited for, you know, to find out who won. I knew that my parents went to the polls all the time. And so I appreciated, you know, their participation in it. And then I had experiences in my young life, I guess, where I realized that government is really there to help people. I mean, they're not always successful at doing it, but that they are there to help people. And so I grew up, I guess, with a appreciation of what government, local, state, federal, can do to help its citizens. And so a lot of people approach government quite differently, but I grew up with a different sense of it and had a different experience. And I never objected really to paying taxes because I knew what they were used for. And, you know, I might like it different, but I really grew up with that sense of appreciation. Mm-hmm. And then I had a similar experience as you did in Germany, because I was privileged to go to several countries, and South Africa stands out in my mind when they gave the right to vote to all its citizens, which means all of the black citizens in South Africa were allowed to vote in that very, very important election. And I can remember I was an observer, a registered observer of that election under the United Nations. And I can remember standing at a polling place wearing my little United Nations blue vest so that they'd know who I was, and look out, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people standing in line. And they didn't just stand there that day. They had to extend election day for 2, 3, 4 days in some areas, and people stayed there all night, young, old, babies, and so forth. And I felt so badly for these older women standing in the sun. And so I would walk down the line, and I'd kind of reassure people. I'd say, there are enough ballots, and yes, people are voting, but it was such a slow process. And they came to one woman, and she looked at me, and she said, oh, I've waited 80 years to vote, she said. 8 more hours won't make any difference. And I thought, wow, we could take lessons in this country also, but from around the world about how privileged we have been, and we don't always take advantage of it.
One final question for you, and this has to do with where we're at today. Leaving the politics out of it, in 2016, 110 million registered voters in this country did not vote. And yeah. I've often said, and granted, we do have some political parties that basically that is the encouragement is lesser voters means better chance for them to win. But the reality is where, what do you feel is today? I mean, I think right now we're going to see a major turnout. And that's a good thing, but it's the inability of voters to return to the polls the next year and the next year and the next year that sometimes derails this country and gets us into a bad place.
I agree with you, and I think we've been fighting that for years. It's people who, I mean, a lot of people don't vote for religious reasons. Fine. You set that aside. But for a lot of people, the barriers to vote are really great. I mean, you know, they have to go register in one registration place 40 miles away, and it's only open from 8 to 2 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So those barriers are also there. But part of it, I think, is the partisanship that has sprung up and gotten worse. And so people kind of think a curse on both your houses. And also, I think it would help a great deal if we could start in schools with great civics programs where children really learn how government can be helpful and what they do and what their civic duties are. But we've tried a lot of methods, and a lot of things work, and, you know, silly cartoons to get out the vote slogans. But I think in this country, we take it for granted, and sometimes we just don't exercise that vote. The states that have the best record in getting all their people to vote are the states that do voting by mail. Mm-hmm. I have children who live in Utah, and my son said it's wonderful. They mail you your ballot to all registered voters. You just fill it out, and you send it back in the mail. And we've tried for years to have Minnesota have that system also. And We've experimented with it in Minnesota, and it exists in a few small places in the state under certain conditions. And it was so successful, but we couldn't, when we tried to get the legislature to pass a vote by mail for a presidential primary, just the presidential primary, we could not get them to agree to it. Mm-hmm. And I think the governor at the time vetoed the bill. But that seems to be some of the, those seem to be some of the states that get some of the highest turnouts. Although I will say, Minnesota is one of the voting states, and we can be proud of that, but we can always, always do better.
I think your point about the deterioration of teaching civics in school actually plays a large role in that as well. I think that's a spot on point. Congratulations on this book, Turnout, Making Minnesota the State That Votes. Joan Anderson Groh with Lori Strudevant and forward by Hillary Rodham Clinton. It's out available now from the Minnesota Historical Society Press. Joan, Madam Secretary, thank you so very much. Congratulations on the book and all my best on this.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I enjoyed talking with you.
It's been a pleasure chatting with you. Matt McNeil right here on AM 950.